top. They got little viewing booths. I'm talking
about that.
Yeah, like there's every porn, VHS, DVD. This is 1996. So
how you doing,
people? She's dressed up a little bit, but not she's not working the street
for a living.
You know how they make
in the street for a living.
So you're discussing a prostitute who retired prostitute in New York City, and you're saying that she is the inspiration for the fucking song Black Diamond.
It could be, yes. I don't know if she, first of all, I don't know if she was a prostitute or not. She was an employee of the place there, and she was very nice to me.
I misunderstood maybe when you said it previously. I felt like you said this is definitely a prostitute
chick.
Well,
that was a lot of assumptions are made. I don't really know. In Times Square, New York City, we're up there. I'm a kid. I'm up there to see the Kiss reunion tour. My cousin wants to go to this place. I never even seen a big time porno place like that. I mean, place was like a triple decker, man. I mean, it was like they got DVDs and all this. I didn't even want to go in to play. It was scary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vex on Vex podcast, episode number 139, already in progress, I might add. We're just discussing Black Diamond, the famous prostitute from New York City that Johnny Zero had or may not have had a moment with.
I do not, she was not a prostitute. I want to be very clear about this. This lady was just very nice to me. My cousin was in there, in his store. She was just a door greeter of this place that sold adult films and very extravagant. I mean, I'm talking right in the middle of Times Square, dude. Like,
also, just for the record, Johnny Zero is here. Lee Majors is here. Lee has no desire to be on the podcast today. Say hello, Lee.
Hello.
There you go.
6 BDM.
6 BDM, right? Six. Is it billion or million?
6 billion.
The six billion.
He's the $6 billion.
All right, so Johnny Zero is in New York City, right? What year was this? Do you remember?
I was up, my big cousin took me, it should be 96, four sold out nights at Madison Square Garden.
Now, Black Diamond, the song, it's a good 23 years before that it's written about, right?
Yes.
Roughly.
Yes.
All right, tell the story again.
Okay. Well, there's a Kiss shirt on. I was waiting for my cousin, and I'm like bashful, you know what I mean? I'm not supposed to be in that place or whatever, but she was just out there greeting people. She was an actual paid employee of the store.
Like a Walmart greeter.
Yes, yes. Like she had a folding chair. And he had the studio, and they let her prop the door.
Was she attractive, Johnny? Like for an older lady?
She just seemed really nice to me. Yeah, attractive, sure. I mean, depending on what you.
No, like when I think of Tina Turner as an older black woman, I'm like, oh, she's all right.
She was okay, man. I'm not gonna badmouth her. She was pretty in her own way. You know what I mean? Like,
how old was she?
I'm guessing
60s,
maybe.
If she's 60s, it can't be her, can it?
I don't,
because that means she's in her 40s.
I don't know, because honestly, and I'm not,
hey, she's out on the street for a living, you know.
Well, I'm not being racist here or anything like that.
Oh my goodness, no one said anything racist.
I'm saying, like, sometimes with African,
you can't tell. Black don't crack, baby.
The aging effect is not because of the skin. It's easier. It's not as easy to tell. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? And if you have that with the mocha, with the makeup and stuff like that, it's possible she might have been older than that. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode number 139 of the Vex and Vex podcast. We're going live. Yeah. We're telling a story about Black Diamond with Mr. Johnny Zero and Mr. Lee Majors. Go ahead, Johnny Zero.
Don't get me from the side. Oh. I've been sick. Don't do that.
All right, we'll do it right on.
I've been sick, man.
You're right here. You're looking good. You're looking good, baby.
You're not looking good, dude.
No, I'm not. I look awful. I'm going to get better, though. So, anyway, put on...
Okay. All right, I'll show me. I'm the pretty one. I'm going to fuck, motherfucker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell your story.
All right, so basically, she was really nice to me, and I've had a couple...
So you were a little drinking?
No.
You just had to have a couple?
No. I was a kid, man.
Okay, tell the story,
so,
bro.
So, like,
I was styling and profiling.
Yeah, I was just out there, and my cousin went in and looked at chicks, and then, or whatever, the movies and stuff. I mean, this was an emporium, dude. You really have to appreciate the
camera. Not a leftorium?
Yeah. And, I don't even know what that means.
That's from the Simpsons. You never saw that? Ned Flanders?
Oh, yeah.
Remember he had the leftorium?
Yeah.
All right, so you meet this chick, and?
So, she just started talking to me about he's in a band, huh? You know, or something.
Wait, she brought Kiss up to you?
Yes.
No, she didn't.
Yes.
All right, now wait. This story's a little better than I thought it was. Keep going.
But you got to remember, I didn't have a video camera or something. They didn't have, or anything. And she was just so nice to me. She cried. I grasped from her like a maternal. You said Jack. It was more like a maternal
type. Okay, she's older.
Yeah, I've had a few. I've been blessed with a couple African American women or just women in general.
Sure.
Take me under their wing like that. I really appreciate it. She was nice. I'm nervous in the middle of New York City, you know. And she started talking about music, and she knew by the things she said, she knew what the fuck time it was.
I feel like you built a lot of this in your brain.
No, see, you do this every time, so I have to condense it down to entertain.
Don't condense it. No.
I want to entertain the audience.
Make a big story. Make a big story. I apologize.
Be a bum guest or something.
You're a great guest.
Okay, but I'm saying, so she started talking about stuff, and I was trying to do the history of the band and figure out, you know, and she talked to me about me being in a band and stuff like that. How'd you know that? You know, well. That's the kind of stuff. That kind of stuff built up in my head because, of course, the long-haired, skinny white kid would, you know, of course, you must want to be in a band. Plus, Kiss is in town, 4th Street.
No, Kiss! Right?
The original 4, the real Kiss, you know what I mean?
Stole your love.
So she started talking to me about stuff that only someone that had some kind of musical insight in general would know about. And I asked her, somehow the subject of Paul Stanley came.
Keep going.
So I don't want that guy squashing my fucking nuts, dude. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, please tell me, brother.
But I'm saying it wasn't anything bad. It was just like, you mean that boy, he was down, you know, he grew up down the street. She was saying something that she was proposing me like I was, like, I remember a kid, that's kind of what it started with. His name was Paul Stanley or Stanley.
Stanley Eisen.
She mentioned it, something. She called him Stanley. Something about Stanley and Parrot. That Parrot boy. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? It's Toucan Sam. At the time, that Stanley the Parrot song, at least not to my knowledge, was out yet. And this is an old demo in like 68, 69, something like that, 70. I don't know. One of those weird early Wicked Lester or whatever that they changed the dates on or whatever. But my brother, since he lived in New York City too, knows that some of that shit, stuff like good stuff, was out before that, so it's always that weird thing. Like,
okay,
was Peter Criss in Lips before he was a Kiss? Or right, exactly. So for your Kiss historian. So anyway, she started talking about him because he lived at something in Broadway, like 154th or 54th. She knew him, and he used to come down to Times Square and play his guitar. And she, you know, he sang that song about that diamond, you know, something. I'm trying to do an impression. I can't. Man, she's a real nice person, and she was just kind, and we just talked for like an hour, man. And she's like, that boy sang that diamond song, that Stanley Parrott boy.
Keep going.
You know what I mean? And she talked about him affectionately and lovingly.
So she didn't say, I'm the Black Diamond Girl.
No, not exactly.
But you kind of make it.
It's not like some girl just, well, dude, you got to set the ambiance for the audience. It's not like they just could be, hey, I'm a random stranger. I'm the girl that they wrote Black Diamond about. It wasn't like that. But I could tell by the things she was saying and where they were and where he lived. And something about plumbing and his dad. And
Something
about plumbing. Like, no, I mean, I'm serious. I'm not, God rest his soul.
I'm not talking shit, bro. Relax.
I'm not, I don't know if it was true or not. Maybe all right. Just a hardcore fan. You got to remember, whole Times Square was all Kiss fans then. They took it over.
Now, we're going to sidestep for a moment, okay?
Maybe she just did it.
Lee Major said off microphone, he inadvertently may have killed one of America's greatest actors. So Lee has to tell that story on the microphone. Yes. So pull the mic a little closer. We're talking about John Ritter was played by who?
Jack Tripper.
Jack Tripper was played by John Ritter. Okay. How did you inadvertently kill fucking John Ritter? Tell us, please.
You know, I mean, guy who was just an amazing actor as a child. And,
he was.
I was up late one night in 2003, I believe, right? That sounds about right.
It sounds about right. Sure, mathematically.
I watched a biography of him on, you know, one of those girl channels that my wife probably had on. And I said, nah, this guy's going to live forever. Woke up the next day. Dead.
Get the wow. fuck out of here!
Wow,
it was
you
like that.
Captain Avenger.
You're at large, dead.
What the fuck?
That's way worse than I thought it was. You really did fuck him up.
Where do you get these lists of names at, huh? Yo, what the fuck, man? You just penciling people out.
So,
angel death.
Has it happened a second time? Are you the angel of death that we don't know about?
I don't know what anybody's talking about.
It never happened more than once.
No.
Are you fibbing?
No.
Now, Johnny, back in the TV Dad's Wrestling Federation days, that was one of your favorite characters.
Yes.
So are you directly offended now that we found out that the billion-dollar man may or may not have taken the life?
I'm not at liberty to speak on such matters as I'm sitting across the table from apparently the alleged the angel of death. You know what I'm saying? I know Captain Avenger makes it out at the end. And it was a great film, in my opinion. What did you think of the movie itself?
Oh, the movie sucked.
For a time. You think
so? See, he doesn't like it either, bro.
I could watch it again just because it's him.
Right.
And it was sub-superhero for that.
I made a promise.
Superhero films were sub-superhero. Unless it was Superman.
Well, wait. Before that time was the modern, not the modern, but the previous Spider-Man, wasn't it?
Nicholas Hammond, in the 70s.
Yeah, Nicholas Hammond.
Yeah,
that was a TV movie.
Was it TV, bro?
Yes, it was
a TV movie, and then it came to a one-season, six-series episode.
Oh, I remember the episode.
Like the web of the spider and all that stuff.
Yep. And they made Red Brown as Captain America, which I wanted to see with the goofy helmet and all that.
Listen, when he threw his motorcycle.
Holy shit, I remember that!
Yeah, and Christopher Lee from Dracula, the second Hammer.
Yeah.
I thought that was Count Dooku.
It is Count Dooku.
And Van Helsing is Grand Moff Tarkin from the original one.
I forgot that!
Yeah. See,
I was joking about that.
And he wears Bela Lugosi's ring in The Horror of Dracula, as it was released here. Over in England, it was released as Dracula in 1957, and he wore Bela Lugosi's ring. Because Bela Lugosi had gone and passed, Guy Rush's soul, at that point, from this mortal coil.
Did you guys know that Count Dooku is the guy they based 007 on in real life?
No.
You didn't know that, did you? His brother-in-law wrote it.
Talking about Casino Royale?
No. The character of 007 existing is based on Count Dooku, that actor.
Huh.
Oh, the actor.
Because before he was an actor, and it wasn't actual Count Dooku, motherfucker.
Well, I mean, like, what the hell? I mean,
but before he was an actor, he was like in the fucking Royal Navy or what?
Christopher Lee, right?
Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
So that's based, 007's based on him. And they thought when it came to the screen later, he would just play it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yes, I don't know. He made a couple metal records at the end of his life too. You know about that, right?
Spoken word. I have heard about that.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen them on YouTube.
Pretty
interesting. He's really good.
He did the Shatner thing. Shatner did that too.
Yeah, well, Shatner had nothing on Christopher.
Was he that good? I've heard clips of it.
You want to play some? You never heard it for real?
No,
we can play it.
I have heard some of it, but I didn't like do it cover to cover.
So Christopher what, Lee?
But it's cool that it happened. I would love to do one of those too.
Like a spoken word metal? Like, whoa.
No, just spoken word, any music.
But it's so natural for him. I mean, it didn't look like he even tried. It was just natural.
What's that Jim Morrison record, An American Prayer?
Well, yeah. That's a weird one because they did it after he was dead.
Still great.
Sounds pretty cool, right?
I just used to be.
Kind of.
Hello.
I gotta fast forward it, really. Here it is. Is that great?
That's him operatically singing. I didn't even sing.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was spoken word. That's great. That's amazing.
And there's, like, multiple records.
I heard about this. I thought it was
pretty good.
Like poetry about music. Oh my god!
Right?
Right? What the fuck, dude? What do you think, Lee? Amazing.
This is the Charlemagne record.
That should have been his entrance in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
They only filmed him for like 4 days for Star Wars. Did you know that shit?
You know you got good buddies when like, I don't have to sit here and explain to them how that's connected to Dracula, which is connected to this and that. 100%.
That means we're fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah, like, where's the cape, Count Dooku? It would have been perfect to put it on the soundtrack, like, just a hint of it when he enters the room.
It didn't exist yet, because remember, the movies were in the 90s.
This is about less than 5-6 years old. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But a good writer, a good composer could have put something that have that kind of operatic, speed metal, kind of edgy, you know. He's right out of the mold of like a Sir William Henry Irvin kind of thing, if you know who that is. Christopher Lee. In Britain, in England, he was the original, he was proposed, the guy that Bram Stoker actually worked for at the Lyceum Theater. Going to the movies back then was a big deal. That's the guy that Bela Lugosi, the Dracula, was based on. He was his boss and also his friend who screwed him over. And he had this great novel. He said, oh, dreadful. And he rejected it. And so he didn't transfer into the film era, but he was like...
I thought his voice was...
He was knighted. He was actually knighted. Yeah.
I think he would be on par with Vincent Price.
Yeah, absolutely. They do a couple of films together, actually. That's another interesting story. Christopher Lee, I don't think was the... there's a lot of people though, there's people in England that think of him as the Dracula, you know, because they only got to see Lugosi at the very end with the Vampire Over London, and they left him stranded there.
Yeah, like multiple films, right? Like a lot of movies he made it in reference to that.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, Lugosi only played Dracula 3 times.
Well.
But he did it on stage. See, that's the difference between people don't get now. The stage, even though...
No, I think, if I'm sorry to cut you off. In America, he's the guy in the big budget American films.
Right.
So if you're American, that's Dracula. Especially like every Halloween, yeah. Little kids dress up, they're Lugosi. That's the fucking guy. Like the well-dressed, the whole thing, the fucking, the Widow's Peak shit. Like that's him.
Karloff did the same thing for Frankenstein.
For Frankenstein. Absolutely. Yeah, Karloff is Frankenstein forever.
And also...
they offered it to him and he turned it down though.
Credit to the great Jack Pierce.
No, I don't know who Jack Pierce is.
Jack Pierce is the makeup artist that came up with the square head.
The square head?
Oh, yeah.
And also the Wolfman's makeup. All those makeups were Jack Pierce. You know, he was a hopeful for the New York Yankees at one point, I believe. Something to that effect, pro baseball. He was just a little too short. There's a play that you go see where the guy's impersonating him, and they have, like, an actual, his makeup of Frankenstein, actual actor playing. It's a stage thing, but it's like an introspective of his career. The great Jack Pierce. They fired him after Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. He got some work later on. He did some stuff with the Stooges. He's a great man. He learned from Lon Chaney Sr., the Man of a Thousand Faces, the real Man of a Thousand Faces. And, you know, he knew the stuff he would keep in, like, his fish tackle box with the spirit gum and the animal teeth and all that. Because there wasn't any CGI boys and girls.
Well, actually, can we spin from that? I want to ask a question. We were discussing off microphone. We were talking about Kiss Meets the Phantom.
Yes.
Right? And then Lee Majors had said, he's like, well, you got to understand that as far as a Kiss movie at the time, they didn't have CGI yet. But remember, it's supposed to be Star Wars meets A Hard Day's Night, and Star Wars had already come out. So we were talking, and I want your opinion on this too. The practical effects of the first Star Wars film, there wasn't a lot of budget. They thought that was a B movie.
I defer to the master. Let me go first.
Go ahead.
I just figured, you know, it was a Hanna-Barbera production, which just mainly dealt with cartoons at the time.
There was no live-action Hanna-Barbera at the time?
No, I mean, not
I'm just asking.
I can recall, to be honest with you, but, you know, you look at Scooby-Doo and et cetera. I mean...
Wasn't exactly Scorsese. Yeah,
no, but you know what? Scorsese's not Scorsese yet, because it's still the 70s, technically.
Right. But I just figured that going into a big-budget movie... I mean, who produced Star Wars? I mean, not produced, who... it up. I mean,
it's Paramount, isn't it?
Paramount? I'm not sure. I know
How would you direct that movie?
Right. Well, I mean, I just think that the budget was bigger for a actual movie, a theatrical movie, yep. versus a made-for-TV, one-hour movie, you know?
You know what's funny about this? In 1978, I believe it was the highest-rated TV. I think it outrated the Super Bowl. It was the most-watched show. Or if it didn't, it was close. Second.
What, like Kiss Meets? Oh, yeah. My father erased that on me. To this day, I'm still pissed at him.
I got the girl across the street down the street. Her parents would let her watch it like that, and she got one from her older brother in the 70s or something like that, and she kept it on a VHS. Got it transferred from Betamax from
over to VHS.
It was like at the seat with the commercials and everything.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, the commercials might be the coolest fucking part.
Right.
Like 70s shit. Commercials are pretty amazing shit.
I love that shit.
I feel like you have to do the Kiss commercial now.
You can't
from
buy
you
that. They put you in the time.
Why didn't they use Kiss songs in the Kiss commercial for the toys?
That makes sense.
Killed me in my heart. They're like, Kiss! Dun, 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 Kiss! Yes, that's! Like, just... Like, play me fucking Rock and Roll All Night or something. And it wasn't a Kiss song.
it was the fight music from Kiss Me, So Fan of the Horn.
It's like what they thought would be a Kiss song. And I came across on one of these old demo collections. It's like Kiss the Vault of Demos, blah, blah. And there's a song called Ring Dang Do, which is...
Hold the fuck up. For real?
Yeah.
Do you know what it sounded like?
What?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah. But it's to my knowledge, it's not Kiss. It was just thought to be a Kiss demo. They thought it was like something...
Is there any audio to this?
Yes. I'll let you hear it. And it's also in a new popular video game. This song is like... It's like Whiskey in a Jar. It's hopefully started by Diggy. It's like a or one of the songs. It's like a folk song. It's like it's been passed. It's like you look up the original sheet music on this thing. It goes back so far. It doesn't even give a composer. It just says traditional.
Ring ding ding.
Ring dang do. Ring dang do. And the lyrics change. It's in traditional folk. You know, like if you write a song and it goes around the campfire, by the time it gets back to you, you know what I mean. It's something different because everybody can use it. It's a folk song. That's what's the beauty of folk music. Doesn't necessarily mean just some guy with an acoustic and blah, 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 the trees and blah, 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 and all that stuff. It's just the idea of that. So, my ring dang do. I finally found my ring dang do.
Now, we got a ring dang do, but it's not Kiss. Check this out.
That's just 100,000 versions.
No, Lee Majors will know this. It's in fucking...
He's talking about pussy in the album.
It's in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes. Yes. In the video game. Yep.
It really is.
Yep. Let's play it.
That's the one I couldn't think of the name of. That's the popular video game. The song is centuries old. Just let you know. I met a gal from old Bordeaux. She had blonde hair and blue eyes too. Let me ride on the ring-dang-doo, the ring-dang-doo. Now what is that? Soft and round like a pussy cat. Got a hole in the middle and split in two. That's what you call the ring-dang-doo.
Oh man, I fucking took you seriously. I've never finished the Elder Back to Front. I've never finished that fucking record ever.
Got a little further than I did.
He won, and I don't know why. But if
what's your favorite song on the Elder?
In Dark Light or Escape from the Island.
Is it called Escape from the Island?
Escape, Dark Light or Escape from the Island.
I want to do Dark Light.
I also like a couple of the other ones. There's some moments of brilliance on there, but in all fairness, you're listening to a soundtrack that doesn't have a movie. Where we were talking about having a Kiss Me as a Fan soundtrack, yeah. Even the TV music.
That's not good, Kiss. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, but I'm saying if you listen to The Elder in its original track intended order with the extra stuff in there, like it was originally supposed to be out there, and if they had a movie with it, it's not as bad as you might think. I mean, it's pretty good, actually. But the solo in that.
I'm already bored. Like my kid?
But it's because you're following a story.
I'm already bored. I'm like, this
wall is popular. This is why we use this. And this kid is on his journey. He's like the rugged. You
know, ooh, I like this.
He's like the Han Solo.
Is Ace even on this record?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, their brother Dennis.
Others, yeah. That doesn't even sound good.
I fucked up.
I got a question. What was the single they put out? The rock tune that was the single?
A World Without Heroes.
No, no, no.
I were the only two.
What, the letter I?
Yeah, the letter I. I Believe in Me. Because that's after the story, and it seems kind of hokey, but if you hear what all the shit this kid has to go through to get to that point.
Because there was one they played on TV.
Yes, they played.
It's I. It's I.
Shout Factory TV. And A World Without Heroes.
I'm going to try and pull up the I thing. Because I remember thinking it was kind of a good rock tune.
Yeah, it's all right.
I was a child.
But see, without a movie, again, they're scoring a movie that doesn't exist. So, I'm just trying to be fair.
This isn't bad. He's not lying. It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the most Kiss-like song. This is such a musical song.
I
believe in me.
Stole your love.
I believe in something more than you can understand. Yes, I believe in you. So he finally gets the courage to stand against the evil. I'm glad he's going to be able to do it.
This is hurting. This is hurting. Like, Starscream just put out a record called Weapons. DeLorean's a single.
Yeah.
If I follow that up with this, no one's gonna fucking care. It's Kramer.
Kramer.
It's Kramer. Yeah. Kramer's on it.
He's hanging out.
You know, the racist Kramer.
Ace wasn't happy with the musical direction of the band.
Well, we all know that, yeah, bro.
But he does say it was a good record for just not the right time.
How about, is it a good record but not a good Kiss record? Would you believe that sentence? Would you take that?
I don't know, because it's so different and weird. I don't know how to explain it. It's just you're making a soundtrack of a movie. without a comic, without a, even a comic book to go with it.
I know.
And so you have to follow this story. It's not like buying a regular rock up. I don't know if I would be fair to judge it on that.
Now, we're going to discuss something else. I want to ask you a question. You, Johnny Zero.
Yes,
not the elder.
Right.
What might be the worst Kiss record, in your opinion, that wouldn't be the elder?
Oh, I don't think the elder is the worst Kiss album at all.
So what do you think the worst one is? I'm serious.
Talking about studio, front to back?
Studio record. Only studio record.
Monster.
Yeah. All right. All right. That's hard to see. Wow. No, that's pretty. That's a given one.
I'll
though.
Take Hot in the Shade over. No, I just realized.
No, he's right. Even though I do not like Hot in the Shade, at least I get one song off that.
I like Hot in the Shade.
I like Boomerang and Betrayed and Hide Your Hearts. All right, you know, I prefer the Ace.
And remember, on that tour is where Slaughter gets their fucking their time. But they released that single. Fuck.
Which one? Rise
to
It?
No. I'm talking about Slaughter.
Slaughter.
It wasn't Rise to the Angels, was it?
Up all night.
Yeah. Sleep all day. They were opening up on Hot in the Shade. That was the tour they were on. So on that video, it's the Kiss fucking stage show, really, that they were recording.
Yeah. With the Sphinx.
Well, they hid the Sphinx because it was their video. But yeah.
Monster was in the 2000s.
Yeah. Mid-2000s. Is that the last one? Is Monster the last one? Or is it? That's it, right? So that's why you hate it. Because it's really a Paul Stanley record.
In the 80s one. Then if you're going to go by decades, then Hot in the Shade is... Was that 87?
Nine.
Okay. I have the song...
Revenge is 91.
I got to plug MC5 here for a second. The song Back to the Stone Age is Kick Out the Jams.
Oh, no. You played it for me. He's right. Yeah. So if you listen to Riff on Riff, it's a knockoff. And 100%.
Well, 100%. I don't know if it's a knockoff or a tribute. It's okay if it's a tribute. But I thought
I felt pretty knockoffy though, to be honest.
I thought the chorus, he could have done better with the chorus. It kind of I love Gene. I love his songwriting. I write a bunch of songs too. Not all of them are winners. Some are winners, some not. So you do just keep. He's one of the guys that just writes 100. He'll write 100 songs for the record.
You know who does that? That guy I hate, Bon Jovi guy.
Bon Jovi.
John will do that. Oh. Like he'll write like 40 songs, and the record's only 10.
Whereas like Ace might come in with 2 or 3.
But they're good.
You know, but they're good ones, but it's just, it's all part of the creative process. There's not a right or wrong way to do it. It's like wrestling, like, you know, same thing. You know, like, do you want to map out every move we do, or you want to come out and do it old school? You know what I mean? Like, that's up to them to decide. It doesn't mean one is better than the other.
All right, now you brought that up. We're going to sidestep a second. They say, and I'm not saying you agree,
right,
that for WrestleMania, Steamboat and Mach is the best match in WrestleMania history. WrestleMania history.
I would disagree with that.
Well, WWF has always been WrestleMania.
Right. No, you're right. But I'm saying like it's a very good match. No doubt about
well,
it.
Well, I'm not asking that. It wasn't the question though. Yeah. Here's the question.
All right, WrestleMania history.
That thing.
Yeah.
It had like 46 pages and it was all mapped the fuck out. Remember, it was real deep.
Yeah.
Would you take that over like a Harley Race match where he calls it in the ring?
Nope. I take the Harley Race match.
That's what I'm saying.
It depends. But listen, it depends on. I take Wyndham Flair Battle of the Belts as the greatest wrestling match ever.
Well, I didn't say that. You're not listening though, buddy. That's not what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is, it's you're asking me to pick over a certain style and approach.
Yeah, I am asking.
The actual thing. In general terms, usually the old school way
works, right?
Works.
Because the way that Greg and Hammer explained it, and I like this, he says you got to gauge the crowd.
Yeah.
You can't sit in the back and write this up a month beforehand.
Sure.
You get out there. Hey man, all the gloves are off. This is a different crowd than we anticipated. You got to fucking work on the fly.
Right, and. Points, but I mean, like, if we're getting to the same destination, does it matter how we got there or not?
No, it might not. Now, I don't know if you know this story.
He does it like Savage too.
Does he really? I didn't
maybe
fuck
not
it
to the extent,
but it's all mapped out.
The guy who I love DDP.
So do I.
He's also the guy that carried Goldberg to his first match that wasn't like 2 minutes squat.
Sure.
And actually, Goldberg,
well, you got to tell
was coming along. Goldberg, you know, actually, believe it or not. And so I heard he was like that too, where some people. And how do you explain the great Alan Jones, AJ Styles? I don't know his creative process, but it's probably sick. I mean, to do those moves he does in an era where they're doing these crazy moves and still have the psychology.
Kind of lost me. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm sorry. The modern eludes me.
He's made him into two different.
But it just eludes me. I apologize. I'm not that person. You're kind of getting away from what I'm asking you.
But anyway, my point is that. With those kind of moves and acrobatics and danger of what they're doing, some of that stuff you probably have to map out. It probably varies on the guy. You know what I mean? Like, you're working Samoa Joe tonight. You're working Roman Reigns tomorrow. You're working Cody. And
well, Flair
might be different.
You're starting when Flair said when he became the NWA Heavyweight Champion. Obviously, races before him, he had to go to a different town every night, and you had to take an athlete who wasn't the same level of like. Work no. What do you? What's
I don't know if that's always be the case because
it's not strong. It's no. It's not always the case. Right. But you still had to make it look just as good as if you were wrestling a Harley race.
Right. So he had to have better guys train him, or guys that really were good, so he could learn his five or six match spots during
the high spots. The high spots. That's an argument.
During the match, I wouldn't necessarily call them high, but whatever it is, and just do that same formula with everybody.
Flair's coming back, dude.
It's not.
One last time.
Yeah. They're talking about it might be a Rock and Roll Express thing.
With Ricky.
It might. They might be. It might be a tag team.
Not Ricky. Already. I read that he already refused it. He declined it.
He said he's not going to do it.
I just read that this morning.
Because I know Ricky's going to be.
They're on their farewell tour, by the way.
So here's the theory with them. Yeah. Robert's going to retire for real, and Ricky's going to work with his son.
That new guy.
I mean, he's old.
Dude, they can still go.
No. Ricky can definitely go, but we don't know if Robert can. Because, now we're a couple years in, so you don't know the answer.
Robert looks really good. I mean, considering his age,
then,
he's an older Robert.
He's like 65, so why is he retiring then?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah,
Ricky Steamboat declines to wrestle Ric Flair at StarCast 5.
Good.
He really did.
Yeah, today.
Oh, shit, today.
Good.
I would have been... Wait, who'd you say?
Steamboat.
We're not talking about Ricky Steamboat.
Oh,
Ricky Morton, Rock and Roll Express.
Morton.
Yeah, I knew Steamboat would say no. I knew Steamboat would say no.
If he wants to regain respect in my eyes, not that I matter or care because nobody gives a fuck about me. I'm just saying it would be Barry Windham.
Wait, this is important. Barry's not ring ready.
Dude, I seen him do it in TCW firsthand. Give him enough time.
But he didn't. That's the thing. It's. You're not even listening to me, man. I'm trying to tell you my side of it. You don't care.
Okay.
You agreed with me the other day when I said this off microphone. He's just not ring ready.
Right.
No one told him. Flair's been in training for 5 months. So it's not fair to put him in the ring with Flair next month.
Which makes it more of an underdog event. He goes out on his back and restores faith to the NWA. And then Conrad, God bless him. I love Conrad, by the way. Great.
Conrad's like my age. And he looks really... Awesome. He looks really bad.
So
get a trainer.
He's not a supermodel, dude. He's just fucking single-handedly fucking, with the wrestling podcast and stuff like that. He's gonna hook up with Billy Corgan, Jim Cocker Promotions. I mean, like, you got an NWA back, dude. You know.
Shoulda, woulda. You're saying that's the thing. I love you. Don't speak in
I miss my wrestling.
Possibilities. Let's speak in what's happening. Right. So Ricky Steamboat said, "No, did I learn something yesterday? I never knew." Ricky Steamboat met his wife because it was one of Ric Flair's models.
Well,
and the other thing about that Steamboat, I can't stand Steamboat. I met the fucker.
Oh, everybody loves Steamboat, too.
Yeah,
not Johnny Zero.
I love Ricky Steamboat, too. Just like, I even had his black alternate figure.
But fuck Richard Blood!
No, Richard Blood's a different thing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's a difference.
Lee doesn't know his name. Tell him.
Richard Blood.
Is that the greatest name? Why would you change your name?
Is
that the greatest name ever?
Fuck.
Some of you try to kill somebody with that name.
That's great. I think he's the greatest undiscovered heel.
I'm ever. Dick Blood.
Me and Vex had a what if promotion. Basically based on the premise that in 90, was it 91, that Flair drops the title, goes to WWF to fight Hogan, right? And Piper comes to WCW. And Wyndham becomes the new champion. And a few other little things. The Road Warriors never take the contract during that whole, when they're merging with UWF. Anyway, we did all that, and we had our draft and just said, what ifs. But it's all based on real life
stuff.
It
could happen. Piper could still climb in with Tobacco and Scott Hall. Yeah. It
was very rule combined. It wasn't totally off the wall, like, what if, blah, blah, blah. Andre the Giant tagged with the Midget, or something. No, it was like stuff that really could happen and almost did happen. It has to be backed in fact. And we came with a lot of stuff. Anyway, it's just, I forget what's going on. Richard Blood. how do you have the name Richard Blood and not use it? Either?
I don't want...
Like, your last name is literally Blood.
Listen, I don't want Dick and Blood ever in the same sentence.
Wow.
Dick Blood tonight.
That scares you, right?
On Raw.
Dick off, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? You can take it any way you want. What a great heel name. Am I crazy here?
Oh, that's a pretty good name.
That's pretty badass.
Wasn't there a Steamboat who was Asian that he was like fucking
yeah, that's what he's
referencing at the time?
He would go Amber Turd with it, yeah. He's a, I'm telling you, I met this bastard, dude. He's a piece of shit.
Wait, wait. Can we officially just say her name is now Amber Turd going forward? Is that how it works?
Listen, she's the only one that gave a shit about that relationship.
Oh! Oh! We made just for the dad joke. Oh,
lay it the smack of down it. It is on. Let's get it on.
Oh, I can't even stop laughing at that. That was good. Fuck. All right.
Holy shit.
That was good, man. Well good. Timed. Well timed. What's going to happen to that court case? Is she crushed? Is she going to lose? What's going to happen?
If she does not lose, then there's something totally wrong with that.
Oh, wait. Someone asked a question on the live thing. Listen, Facebook Live. Billy Corgan bought the National Wrestling Alliance. Yep. If you don't know that, Google it. That's a fucking fact. Yep. So for what, the past 5 years, 4 years, Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins owns the National Wrestling Alliance.
Yes. Thank you.
Fact.
Who is that person?
Yeah, but did he buy it
tonight? I'm not going to tell you. You're going to get mad.
No, I'm not going to be mad. Just who is it? Who is it?
It's your boy, Poe.
Poe. All right. Well, look. That's great because I tell us how he convinced it down from the state athletic commissions to buy it as a single company, because what he owns is a single company, whereas before the kayfabe.
I know you asked the question. I have the answer.
Yeah.
When Vince
would have had to change.
No, but when Vince came out and said it on a federal level that it's entertainment, it's no longer athletic commission governed. And it broke it up immediately.
Right, understood.
So now he just bought, I'm sorry.
But that didn't take place overnight.
Oh, but it took 30 years. Right. That happened in 91.
Right, like there was still NWA sanctioned TNA.
I'm not saying that. Right. But in the 30 years since, it boils down to what he bought was the NWA trademark.
Sure.
Because now it's not an athletic competition at all. So it broke up all the power through all the states, and he just bought it outright.
And that's exactly what I would have. It's just sit back and wait for it to be come together, scoop it together, and buy it as one name. So no matter what happens, I'd have the heritage, and I'd have that.
Well, no, he had to make all the Smashing Pumpkins money. He had to go out on tour. He had to get hooked on cocaine. He had to fucking buy a bunch of dumb shit. And then, you know.
He might be wrestling's legend.
And now he's middle-aged, and he's rich, and he's like, I'm going to buy some wrestlers from wrestling.
Dude, if he's going after NWA.
He owns it. Not going after.
He knows his shit. I fucking love Billy Corgan. He might be the last hope of professional wrestling.
So you keep saying.
Well,
he said that it's exactly like dealing with musicians. He said it's the same thing. It's like it's all entertainment based. They want to get paid. This guy's a drug problem. He's like, it's all the same shit. He's like, it's just like handling rock and roll.
Right. But the thing is, though, if anybody wants to, because I still believe in the heritage of the NWA, you know, and I think the Underground does too. But the thing is, like, if he owns that, now you don't have to go get this promoter in this territory. You don't have to have a committee. The buck stops.
No, but he does own it. He does own it. Straight up.
Corgi, man. Hey, by the way, when you said that Hero at Large sucked, by that same rationale, in general, wouldn't you say that Kiss Meets the Phantom technically sucks? I love both of those. To me, they don't suck. They're beloved films. There's different kinds of suck.
There's no fucking parallel, sir.
Nah, you can't.
Would you put the suck of the premise, at least the premise of the story of Hero at Large?
I think the premise is pretty great.
The premise is good.
Yeah. And they have.
I can believe John Ritter jumping off of a building.
It was very American Hero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like American Hero, they're done around the same time, aren't they?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
The greatest American Hero. Yeah. Absolutely. And yet another one associated with you know who. But
no, I don't.
From the same period of time, because it was a thing. It was a look. Superman with Christopher Lee coming out did not, in my opinion, and I've been told this, but I don't know what the internet says. Had a lot to do. That was a win for the comic industry.
Superman with who coming out?
With Christopher Reeve. Like when it came out, was that 77, 78?
I think it's 8. Isn't it 8? You would know.
That was a big. Fucking
and it was a juggernaut of a film.
For them to even make a big budget movie, motion picture, go to the movies, not a TV show, go to the fucking movies and make a Superman film was like winning one for everybody in a way. And they couldn't have, Captain Marvel getting in the way or anything else getting in the way. But I don't
Why
know.
Why do you make it about that? Like
because
for one second it was...
But I'm not saying that was the primary reason. I'm saying I'm happy that happened. Because look how great the TV-wise, look how great the Incredible Hulk did. Why didn't they keep making those Hammond Spidey films? I love that shit.
They didn't want to make
Do you remember the live action Thor movie? in the 80s on NBC? No. Or was it CBS? It was CBS.
It wasn't. No, I remember it was a Hulk.
Hold on.
He was in
the Trial of the Incredible Hulk. Yes, it
was. But,
or the Death of the Incredible
Hulk. That was Thor existing.
Yeah, but I remember TV's Daredevil. I like TV's Daredevil.
I don't remember TV's Daredevil.
No, he had just a black suit on. It was all black. And
what year, John?
I don't know.
No, was it 80s or 90s?
I guess it would be 80s going into the 90s.
I don't remember it.
Maybe
I don't remember
1990,
it.
Perhaps?
Is it syndication, or was it like one of the three networks?
CBS special TV movies.
Okay.
It was a made-for-TV movie. And they had Daredevil and Thor were in two different parts.
Well, the Thor was supposed to have its own thing.
Yeah.
The reason it was introduced awful. Through the Incredible Hulk.
The Thor was awful. Yeah. So corny and bad. I never understood why they look. At least Red Brown, you can give him a beat because it's more like the motorcycle come out of the thing as Captain America and the clear shield and all that. But at least he was good as Captain America. Red Brown was pretty good.
I got a weird story about Thor.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear it?
Good.
Okay. Do you know that movie Adventures in Babysitting?
Yes.
Remember the guy who ran the garage who looked like Thor? Because the little girl was obsessed with Thor.
No.
And
Adventures in Babysitting.
I know of the girl that played in that movie, but I don't.
You know, do you remember the plot of the movie or no?
Yeah. Mom and dad go to town. The kids are there.
So the car gets picked up.
Station wagon.
And the station wagon's in a fucking shop. Elizabeth Shue. The guy who runs the shop is Private Pyle from fucking Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
He pretty much air quotes plays Thor, though. In that movie.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, right, yes,
wait.
Yes. The kid, and then he had the comic books.
There's more.
Old Jack Kirby Thor, right?
There's more.
It was a dick guy. Yeah. Keep going.
There was a guy in the 70s who was a musical artist named Thor.
Right.
And he was ripped because he just worked out all the time.
Right.
And he was up for that part, and they gave it to the Full Metal Jacket guy.
Yes, I saw. Something.
You saw that documentary?
Saw that. Yeah. He's like a heavy metal singer.
Exactly.
He's like a dude from like Scandinavia.
He's like,
or something.
I am Thor.
Or something like that, right?
Something like that.
It reminded me, wasn't it made by the same people that made that Anvil thing? Or like?
No. The Anvil thing made money.
Yeah.
The Thor documentary
was very fucking interesting. And
I liked it.
The fact that it came out during a time. Because Thor is one of those characters, again, like a Captain Marvel, it's owned by multiple people because that's an old mythology thing. I don't think maybe Vince knows more about it than I do, but you can like make a Dracula movie. You know what I mean? Like because it's like an old novel or something. There's legal stuff involved. But
it's called the worst music video ever made. Let's pull this the fuck up.
But you can see what they were thinking in, what was that, the early 1980s or something?
Yeah, I think it was.
You know, you have to take the...
You guys ready?
Context is, context is everything. Yeah. Can you see it, Lee? It's a little movie. Dungeons and Dragons is big. The Hobbit's big. All this stuff. Men aren't afraid to be men.
I mean, he can't sing.
But you have to pick the context for the time.
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. The hook's not bad. I do. It's like Dio without talent. Yes, look, that's pretty bad. Rise is hey! So that's Thor.
Yeah. But the thing is, but it's not Marvel's Thor. It's not,
Donald
Blake.
No, I think it's called My Name is Thor. It was a documentary on fucking Netflix fucking 6 years ago,
seven years ago. I watched that shit too as soon as it came out. I just couldn't remember it.
It's just Dave without talent. But he was built.
That's Lee? Dude, you were Thor?
I didn't say that.
What did you say?
I said, what do you mean? What time?
Who is Thor without the...
Without talent.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? All
right, never mind. I thought I never know what these guys.
It's called I Am Thor documentary. Let me see if I can pull it up. Holy shit, you can rent it. It came out in 2015.
Oh, I can run it. Where's the trailer? Here we go. Here's like 2 minutes.
Gore was like the savior of rock and roll for us back then.
I'm used to looking at Rod Stewart or Mick Jagger, and they're skinny, and they look like they've been drugged out, and this guy just looks so wonderful. I just want to go out and grab him.
I used to be a serious bodybuilder. I'm a serious rock and roller right now.
What didn't happen?
He had everything. They were all sure they had the next mega star.
And then it just went right down the tubes.
I think it was simple mismanagement.
All of their greed destroyed his career, in my opinion.
It's all disappeared. It was just too much to take. I ended up having total nervous breakdown.
I started blaming my alter ego.
He is foreign.
Nervous breakdown.
Music, show business in general, totally.
No.
I tried to wash that character out and then just become a normal, mortal human being.
Why is this great?
Everyone's got like a quest in life or a purpose, right?
No, but look how bad he is when he comes back. Fuck. Status,
and that's always been a goal.
Yes, I do. He looks like the chef guy.
Yes.
I was pushing him, man, because he kept telling me, do you think I should go on tour?
Guy Fieri.
Like, yeah, I want to see you live, man.
He wanted to go back into show business. And
show business.
She didn't want to go through all the pain again.
Kids aren't going to want to see old people up on stage.
I know it's a crazy way to make a living, but I bet your movie can't do this.
That's rough.
Whatever it takes to make this comeback.
Six people have paid tonight.
Impending steel, man. That was the most metal thing I've ever seen on a stage.
You're just talking over the whole thing, guy.
But some things went wrong. Very wrong.
Maybe that's the time he should, you know.
He became a drug addict. That's the part that pisses me off. Like, and during the filming, he like goes and uses drugs. Like, dude, come on. You were super ripped, right? Your fucking little stupid career didn't work because the songs sucked. That's important. The songs fucking sucked, right? So, I am Thor. And then he just becomes like a drug addict. And then he's like, I don't know. And then when he's like 50, he's like, I'm making a comeback.
Yeah.
And he's on Lipitor because he has like high blood pressure.
Yeah, just the fact that it's still an amazing. It was worth making a doc.
Oh, it was good watching it. Yeah. It made me, here's the thing it made me do. I'm in a band and I'm getting old. I can't stop being in a band. Because if you step away and then come back, you're going to look 150 years old. Yeah. But if you stay in it, like Keith Richards, you might just live forever.
Unless it was designed that way or something.
I don't know what that means.
Well, anyway, I understand what you're saying. You're afraid of looking old.
I have friends. Or something. Me, King Sam and I started this band in February of 94, right?
Right.
We had friends who were 16, 17, 18 at that time. They look like people's dads when they come see us play every once in a while now. And we still kind of look like us. Like, I'm not young, but I don't look fucking 60.
Right, sure.
And my friends do. Because they just weren't in a band. And they just got fucking middle-aged fat. And they don't go to the gym all the fucking time. And they don't go to practice every week. And, like, that shit matters. I am Thor. No. Need musical acumen first. It's about the songs. It's always about the songs.
I heard some pretty good singing. I mean,
but the songs were weak. I, in my opinion, doesn't mean I'm right.
No, fair enough. But I'm saying that's subjective. But don't to say the man couldn't sing or whatever. It's just.
Well, I'm a singer.
It's interesting that actually happened. You know, a fantastical character based upon a live metal band performance, even if it's awful or terrible. I get the whole thing, but it's still. I if I was an indie like film director. I could see the story there. Like, you hear the guy talk about, I thought I would go back to being a mere mortal. And the guy's fucking apparently serious. Like, the character, the lines between the character and the man are askew. It's kind of like wrestling. Did he ever wrestle in the indie stuff? Maybe Guy Harden was looking or something?
I watched the documentary, and that never came up.
I saw it once, like, when it came out.
Yeah, like 7 years ago.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I thought I was the only one who saw it.
I am Thor. You don't even remember. I'm the one who made you watch it.
Oh, are you? I mean, Danny. Yeah,
you know what happened? I had just gotten divorced again because it happens a lot. It turns out, fuck, I gotta stop talking about that every single document. Every time we have a podcast, I'm like, I get married a lot. That's like my catchphrase. Like, I should get that tattooed on my chest.
That's definitely your catchphrase.
That's my catchphrase. Yeah, I came up with a fucking neighbor the other day. Fuck that lady. Right, yeah, are you watching? Because you called the fire department on me, didn't you? That was fucked up. Yeah, yeah. No comment. Fucking fireman knocked my door. Hey, are you burning your house down? And I was like, no. Not that I'm bitter.
Now he's digging holes in the street.
That wasn't me.
No.
Fucking neighbors. So anyway, back to my point. What was my point? Johnny Sierra's leaving the table.
I gotta go pee-pee.
All right, Lee, you're stuck. When was the first time you saw Kiss live, Lee?
Live? Physically.
Like in concert. In concert, sure.
2000.
You missed the whole fucking first run of the... Why 96, 97 you didn't go?
96. I'm sorry. I was 96.
That's different, right? Because that's like...
Yeah, that was when the Ace just came back.
So you saw all four?
Yes.
And then when you saw him in 2000...
I forgot all about 96. 2000 was...
Tommy Thayer.
No.
You saw Kiss Kiss. Yeah. Have you ever not seen all four?
No, it was always the original when I went to see. That's... I want to see the thing. I mean, I have no problem with
it. No, I'm with you.
I just don't have any kind of... joy to see them.
No desire.
No.
I respect that. No. What was better, 96 or 2000?
96, because Ace got really pissed at a sound guy.
What happened?
It's just his mic wasn't working, and he just wasn't doing his job to get it working, and basically he was, you know, cursing at him during the concert.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was awesome. I would have been pissed too, though.
I told this actually like two podcasts ago. I saw Black Sabbath, and I've always loved Black Sabbath with Ozzy, right, on the Farewell Tour, and they get on stage, and do you know the song Snowblind?
Yeah.
They start playing it. I love that riff. The guitar was out of tune. And I saw the look on Tony Iommi's face, and he can't do anything because, like, it's such a huge venue. There's no tuner in front of him. Somebody handed him the guitar. He plugged it in. It's in the wrong fucking tuning. So he played this fucking tune, which was all fucked up incorrectly. The entire tune. It was the first leg of that tour. Was the first night. I swear to God, that song, I got fired. Guitar Tech.
I think that was that guy's last.
That was his last fucking stop.
You about his version of Snowblind.
Excuse me?
Did you say didn't he have a version of Snowblind, or was it Into the Void, or both?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Were you talking about Tony? I was using the bathroom, I'm sorry.
I know. I was talking Black Sabbath when I saw them live. Snowblind was out of tune. The guitar was out of tune.
Okay. And did he have, so that was an Iommi guitar composition, correct?
It's a song called Snowblind.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I see right through the story. Actually, that's not it. Anyway, you know, it's a song, dude. Snowblind's a fucking song. It's not a guitar composition. It's a song.
Okay, got it.
I mean, it's all guitar, but there's vocals and basses and drums
sure,
and stuff.
Sure, obviously. But a lot of that stuff is riff generated. I love Tony Iommi.
It's all riff generated.
Yeah. And then he did another one called Into the Void. I just noticed Ace had the same two song titles on there
Ace has a Snowblind song title?
You don't know Snowblind?
Snowblind.
I don't know Snowblind.
Holy shit.
Is it from Chaos? Kiss.
It's really song. Yeah.
No, is it Kiss or is it Ace Frehley?
It's Ace Frehley, dude.
So it's not Kiss.
Yeah.
Is it on a Kiss record or an Ace record?
It's on the Kiss Ace Frehley solo album.
Oh, that's why I don't know it. It's always about cocaine. If it's Snowblind, it's about cocaine. Everybody did coke back then, though.
Right. That was probably that, and Fractured Mirror was probably his best one on there.
Right. If I like What's On Your Mind, and Rip It Out and Speed Back to My Baby, but that's just me. I like Ozone too.
You know, we just had this conversation with Bex and I about who had the better solo album.
Oh, I think that's easy.
Ace.
Yeah.
Hands down.
It's not even close. And you know the one
Paul's was the worst.
Yeah. I didn't think any of them were bad.
No, I think Paul's was bad. Even Peter's was better than Paul.
The thing about Peter's is, which I don't think is fair, is because of who he is, the look, you know, everything like that, hardest rock band, America's number one hard rock group, blah, blah, at the time. You put it in the context of the time. It's such a departure from what they would normally do as a band that it gets panned heavily. But if you put that same record out with him with no makeup on as like a R&B soul, you know, contemporary type singer, like the thing, jazz, a big band swing, there's some hits on that record, dude. I think it's ballsy of them to try.
On Peter's. Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying it's my favorite listening choice, but it's entertaining because it's such a departure from that normal formula. You know what I mean?
Even this Chris Cat album wasn't horrible.
No! Blue Moon Over Brooklyn's a fucking hit!
Exactly. That was a good song.
It's a fucking hit, dude. And the Bad Attitude one's not bad either. I think, you know, if him and Richie would get together and put out a hard rock record.
They don't talk.
Yes, they do.
Oh, sorry, Peter. I apologize.
The Emperor and the Catman. You know, they just recorded a single together.
They did, didn't they? What's it called?
It's called The Emperor and the Catman.
I fucking remember that.
Yeah, he's the Emperor of Rock and Roll. He's the Catman of Rock and Roll.
And incidentally, I want to tell you something, if that's okay.
Same area, yeah.
The Black Sabbath Snowblind came out in 72.
Oh, yeah. I'm not denying that came out.
But, like, it's about coke, so, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah,
and they both have links to Lita Ford, correct?
Well, what do you mean, they both?
Like they... I know that.
Oh, Iommi slept with her in the 80s.
I think he really slept with her in the 70s. At least that's what they say by her own admission.
No, why is she going to lie? Like,
and that's okay. On Ace's birthday. She comes out with a cake and makes a joke about him, and that's pretty cool. It's like, I could have got you a lot of trouble back. You know what I mean? But she's a great guitarist, too. See, Lita Ford's cool. I think it's cool. I can see where maybe. I love Joni, too. I love them all. But
Joan Jeppi.
Yeah, the queen of rock and roll, man.
Fighting with Ted Nugent right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, she shouldn't have gotten offended by that, but at the same time, he should have said that smarter.
best rock lead guitars. He's thinking that's the only thing. If you said rock rhythm guitars, then yes, Joan Jett's in there. But as far as she's a rhythm player, not a lead player.
I get it.
And then that squashes the whole argument. It makes me wonder, they're probably old friends, man. You know, just for press. You know what I mean?
I don't know. It's a pretty political time right now in the country, and yeah. I think they're divided. So that's a thing.
I can't imagine.
I love Joni. I know her death. And I love Uncle Ted, too. Sometimes he gets a little carried away with the, you know what I'm saying? A little bit of the mouthy mouths once in a while, you know. But, he's a good guy. I respect some of his stuff. But
Everybody says Ted's a dick. I want to tell you something to your faces. If you're listening on the Facebook Live and on fucking this podcast, that motherfucker can play.
Oh, fuck.
And if you're a guitar player and you love guitar playing, respect your elders.
It's true.
He met Hendrix. You didn't meet Hendrix. Like, he's a bad motherfucker.
Dating back all the way to Amboy Dukes and everything.
Amboy Dukes, exactly. Now, you could talk. Dude, Stranglehold? Fucking right,
and,
dude.
And that's all they listen to. Dude, I'm talking like Wang Dang Sweet Poon Dang.
I don't like that one. That's
This is a love song. Dedicated to all that sweet Nashville pussy. A little bit of here, a little bit of there, a little bit of blah, 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 blah. They can't you hear talking at you. You know what I mean? Or something. I can't even do it.
We won't mention names, but I feel like that could be somebody's theme song.
Yeah, Wang Dang. Dun, 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 dun. Wow. Bam, dun, 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 dun. You know, it's wow.
He's trying to sound promiscuous. I'm promiscuous. It's probably true. I had a girl text me last night. She's like, do you use condoms?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Captain Trojan, baby.
Was that a plant?
He has a whole box full.
Yeah. I do.
What are those suits you wear in the rain? Is that called a plancha?
A
poncho.
Poncho.
Was that a whole poncho?
You had a lot of those valves there, okay?
He's like, penis.
He's like, I'm going to figure it out, man. I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm
man.
Going head first.
Anyway, that died quickly, head first.
Yeah.
So you need the sound effects.
You need the soundboard. You didn't do it. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. So you were saying about the solo albums. I like Ace's number one, Gene's number two.
You think Gene's too?
I love Gene's.
Really?
Radioactive is really good.
I love Always Near You, Nowhere to Hide. The creepy.
I'm shocked to hear you be a Gene guy.
Fuck yeah, dude. I think so much is fucking genius. There's some whatever on there.
Listen,
too.
Do you have the original posters all that you could mesh
together? Yeah, yeah. I got every one but each.
All four covers, right?
Yeah, you can never find the Ace.
No, they were like in the jungle or something like that.
Yeah.
And it glowed in the dark.
It did glow in the dark. Yep. I remember that.
Yep.
Each cutout was different. Like one had a diamond, and it would connect to another one that was like a circle.
Yeah.
And you put it together, it looked like they were in a forest.
Back when there was four stars.
Yeah.
You know, that's what. You know, how you gonna beat that? You know? All four of them are capable from it. You know,
it's when it was good. But that was the glue that was trying to hold them together.
Exactly.
It was a big fail.
That's why when they come back with and this is no disrespect to Doc McGee or anything like that. He was not the right manager for that. Should have been all coin. Because he knew how to, for whatever reason, good, bad, or indifferent. I know he's gonna. He can't wait to trash Bill Coin. I guarantee it. Eddie Kramer too. I'm telling you.
But you know what? Altcoin gave up everything for them.
But I'm telling you, he had for the longest time before it got too crazy with the fame. That could happen to anybody. They were that big. But he knew how to keep them guys together. He knew how to make it treated like a family. And he's the one that came up with the idea of making it a personality band. And that's why that's why everybody has that love in their heart for the original four together. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you feel like you know them, blah, 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 blah. There's something about those four idiots together to this day that even if they were like game show hosts or something or like on a singing contest, probably to announce their own replacements.
The Masked Singers, literally.
Probably to announce their own replacements. That's instant TV for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, it's just there's something about it. Anyway, that's just...
Kills!
But, anyway, you were saying that. You think the worst album? What is your second worst album? What's your worst album, Vex?
Oh, the Ace Frehley record, hands down.
No.
All right, I'm lying, and I am lying. It's a pretty great fucking record. And I don't like Ace, but it's a pretty great fucking record.
Okay, what's your worst Kiss record in general? Something that put out with the Kiss.
I just hate Elder. I just hate Elder.
Okay.
It just isn't a Kiss record to me.
Made albums. That was 1981. I'm talking about even the non-makeup era.
I'll say it slower.
Okay.
I don't like the Elder, but Johnny doesn't accept my answer, and now he tries to make me change my mind.
I'm not trying to. I don't particularly love the Elder either. I'm just trying to say, but I would at least listen to it before I made a judgment in its proper order. But and we'll beyond that, what's your second worst
ever.
And Lee Majors, second worst Kiss record.
Yeah, like you said, Monster, and I'm not a fan of Animalize, like I said.
Okay.
I don't hate Animalize.
I'm gonna go
Monster and Hot in the Shade.
Asylum's not so good.
I like Asylum.
I like some of Asylum.
Some of it, but it's not. It's
like Circus, I guess. I like some of Circus, I guess.
Yeah, Psycho Circus.
You know that's Into the Void, right?
Yeah, I sent a new track listing. I haven't sent it to you guys yet about that. If you listen to some of the demos, I'm talking about the stuff that they actually officially acknowledge as demos, not the stuff that showed up on Ace albums or whatever. We'll never know how it would have turned out. But that with the three or four clippings and put some of the demos in on that, that album is completely different. I guarantee you might not have had a farewell to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 139. That happened twice. Stop. This has been episode number 139 of the Vex and Vex podcast. Lee Majors, thank you for your time. Johnny Zero, thank you for your time. This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.